massive fan of basketball.
I'm glad you looked at 8 years anyway, not three.
Try before you subscribe.
There's always good guests, aren't
you? You're either a player or you're a coach for me, yeah.
It's brilliant.
Get 3 free podcasts per month. Just download the Off The Ball app now.
Highly recommend it.
I am delighted to be joined by 5-time Paralympian and Allianz ambassador Ellen Keane upon her return from Paris. The last few weeks marked Ellen's final Paralympics as she now looks forward to her retirement. And Allianz have, of course, been proud to support Ellen on her Paralympic journey since 2017 and are the only Irish brand to support both the Olympics and Paralympics at global and local level. Ellen, you're very welcome home. What's it like being back in the normal world?
It is amazing to be home. I was sitting on the Aer Lingus flight, looking at the menu, being like, I know exactly what I need right now. I need a pack of potatoes and a Dairy Milk. And then just, like, there's actually something about coming home on an Aer Lingus flight. Like, you just feel like you're already home. I'm wrecked. Like, I came home yesterday at 5 o'clock. I got in the door at 5 o'clock and I fell asleep straight away. And then I only woke up briefly to eat something and then fell back asleep. So, it's been a tiring few days.
You mentioned the Dairy Milk and the pack of potatoes there. What else have you done since being a Paralympian that you couldn't do in the build up to preparing to be a Paralympian at this year's Games?
What else have I done? I haven't really done too much else. There's obviously the silliness and shenanigans that happen after the closing ceremony, but that's just always the celebration of all the athletes cheering about the games being over and celebrating the games being over. But I've just kind of taken some time just to be with my friends and my family and appreciating the end of an era, to be honest. That's what it's been. It's been appreciating walking around the village, spending some time with people who I'm probably never going to see again and having those goodbyes, which is quite sad, really.
You dropped a Winnie the Pooh quote after your final race. You said how lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard. And I did wonder, did you deliberately try and give us all a little bit of a gut-wrenching moment there watching that? Were you going for the heartstrings with that?
Of course I was. I'm media trained. Come on now. I know what people are looking for, headlines. But it was also, I also needed to really think about it. I didn't want to finish my race, walk out and just kind of have nothing to say. And I wanted to think about how do I actually feel here? And I saw the quote and I knew that's exactly how I felt. And like, that's why I stayed for 3 years because, okay, yeah, I knew I was kind of done with my motivation after Tokyo and winning my gold medal. I had achieved my lifelong goal and my lifelong dream, but I wanted to say goodbye properly. And I wanted to give my friends, my family, my supporters, Ireland, I wanted to give everyone a chance to actually appreciate it and say goodbye with me. And that's exactly what I got. So it was the longest goodbye ever, but how lucky am I? Like, it's been incredible. It's been such a journey. And then to finish being the flag bearer, oh my God, I don't think any athlete could ask for more. Like, maybe a podium finish would have been good, but maybe that would have been too perfect. And I wrote a book called Perfectly Imperfect for a Reason. And there you go. It's come back to haunt me.
A 3-year goodbye is quite a long one for sure. Did it take you by surprise how emotionally taxing that would be, or was it emotionally taxing is probably a better question. Is it something that did exhaust you at times?
It didn't exhaust me. It was just, I was ready. Do you know, I was ready. I think the 3 years was really long. And I think had it been 4 years, I wouldn't have been able to do it. After my Europeans in April, I was ready to go. And I found it really hard. I found it really hard to be in the performance mindset. There's a mindset that you need to be in when you're performing and you need to be strict on the routine. And I just felt really drained by it. And I was really drained when I came home from Europeans because I found it so difficult. And then I started seeing my sports psych a lot more and leaning into the psychological aspect of it to try and prepare myself for Paris, because if I didn't, I don't know how I would have got there. And And seeing my sports psych and leaning into the sports staff that I had really helped build my motivation again. And I guess it only became emotionally draining and taxing the few kind of weeks and days leading into leaving Ireland, because I was like, okay, here we go. This is it. This is goodbye. And it was saying goodbye to the pool, and it was saying goodbye to kind of the staff in the Institute of Sport that have looked after me for so long, and saying goodbye to certain teammates that I know I'll never swim with again. So that was emotionally draining. But once I got to Paris, I was just so excited for the games to begin and to be part of the games. And knowing that I didn't have to explain to anyone that I wanted to retire, and I could just appreciate being there, and everyone knew it was the end for me. So everyone was just so excited to watch and support and to cheer me on one last time, and like, so lovely. And I had some messages from athletes around the world and people I've worked with over the years, just telling me to enjoy it one last time. And I really felt the importance of that message. So that's what I did on Tuesday. I just was like, here it is, enjoy it. And it really felt like I was a little kid again. Do you know when you go and you're a little bit nervous, but you're excited as a kid to just get in and go for it? And my last race on Tuesday, that's what I did. I just was excited. I was waving at everyone. I was smiling, and I just got in and I went for it. And it was the perfect way to end it.
That piece of sports psychology of finding your motivation again sounds really interesting. Like, what did you do? What changed? What became the motivation?
It was just appreciating how far I've come, and to stop worrying and to just trust that I know what to do, and to trust that I'm able to be ready. And I think that's something that as athletes, we kind of don't do. We don't reflect enough. And I'm certainly guilty of not reflecting enough. And I only really started to reflect fully when I was in Paris, and I was preparing for my final race. I was like, this is class. Look at how far I've come. And that's why my last race was so much fun, because I was reflecting. And that's what I kind of tried to do in the lead up, the last few months leading up to Paris. It was just trying to remember why I started and trying to think of all the amazing memories I have and use that as motivation and use that to be the final push. And that's what made the game so much more enjoyable, because it wasn't about the performance. It really wasn't. And it would have been nice to have made the podium one last time. But it was about really just giving my all one last time. And it was about being in the moment. And that's what I did. That's why coming forth, yeah, I was a bit sore, but it was also like, there's nothing more I could have done, and I've done it all before. So it's okay. And it's okay that I didn't come home with a medal. And I was so proud to be able to watch Roisin win her medals. And I was so proud to see Orla, especially after all the years of injury that she's had. I've seen Orla come referred in the Institute of Sport getting rehab so much. And I've seen her struggle so much with the injuries that this year, I remember seeing her in the Institute once and I was like, that girl is ready. That girl is going to do something special. And it was such a privilege to see her do that special thing in Paris.
Right. So you're getting joy out of seeing the rest of Team Ireland succeed as much as seeing Ellen Keane succeed?
Yeah, definitely. And even when I landed in Dublin Airport in 08 and 2012, I didn't come home with a medal. And I remember going through Dublin Airport and being jealous of all the medalists, getting all the attention and wanting to be that. And that was kind of like the spark that kept me wanting to win medals. And I remember landing in Dublin Airport yesterday and just being, I was waiting for the pang. Like, I was waiting for it to hit me and for me to be jealous and for me to be sad, but it didn't come.
Right.
And I was just so happy for everyone else. And I was just so happy to be able to walk out, see them, get their pictures, see them, get their interviews, and just watch from the crowd and then go home. Like, I have no regrets, and I'm so happy that I'm able to walk away with a smile on my face. Like, I haven't had, the smile hasn't gone anywhere since since I finished, since Tuesday. And even like there were a few tears after my breaststroke, and there were a few tears between, especially between me and Nicole, because we've worked together for so long, and I know it's going to be hard now for Nicole, just kind of saying goodbye, because I've been on the team for as long as she's been swimming. So I've had to go through that transition when other teammates of mine left, but she's strong enough and she'll be able to get by, and I'll always be on the phone to her. So yeah, it's been an honor. It's been a privilege.
Is there a certain moment that you realize, Ellen, where you developed that sense of gratitude? And obviously I presume winning a gold medal is a very, very important thing in that, and having your lifelong ambition actually achieved. But was there any other piece of work or any other moment over the course of your entire swimming career where you started to develop that sense of really being thankful to exist in the space of somebody like Nicole or any of the other competitors that you've mentioned there, and you started to realize that you could actually gain some happiness from seeing what other people are doing?
Yeah, when I saw Nicole win her silver medal in Tokyo, I actually was probably a lot more emotional for her than I was for myself.
Nice.
And I was just so proud of her. And then even the year of the Commonwealths, I went over to watch my teammate Barry McClements represent Northern Ireland and win a medal at the Commonwealth there. And it's so exciting seeing the people that you've watched train so hard, focused and ready. And it's so exciting to see them fully empty the tank and give it their all, because I know what it feels like to do that. So to see them do it, it's just so satisfying, because you're so proud of them, because you know how hard it is to do. Mm-hmm. And then in Paris itself, the day that I came fourth in my breaststroke, Roisin won her first Paralympic medal, the silver in the 100 backstroke. And I just thought, class, like she's so amazing. She deserves it so much. And I just feel so much pride for her. Like, Roisin is obsessed with swimming. She's such a hard worker. She loves doing meters upon meters. And she has such a good, she has such a great team in Limerick. And her coach, John Serrano, came away with us and was working with her over there as well. And like, there's no one who deserves it more. And that girl is going to do so much more in the sport. And it's just so exciting to be able to see them all do so well. And I really love the fact that I'm able to appreciate it.
You're going to be so annoyed with the amount of what is next questions that you get asked, but I feel just it has to be asked at this stage. Your next contribution to Irish sport specifically, I know there's probably a heap of non-sport related things that you want to do with your life, but the way you talk about your relationship with your teammates, the way you gain joy from seeing other people's success, it does seem like a career outside of the pool, but within sport, is something that you would be very, very good at. I'm not sure if that's something that actually interests you.
Do you know what? I've been in sport for so long that I don't know who I am outside of sport. I don't know what I like, what I want to do. I don't know what brings me joy. And I am just going to take the time to be a bit selfish and to just figure that out and just rest. But at the same time, when I was in Paris, I was, as much as I was looking at the other athletes, I was also looking at the other staff and all the staff members who were making such an impact on all of the performances and all of the team as a whole. And although I don't think I'll go into coaching, maybe there's a role for me in a different way in sport, because I just thought it was so cool to see the impact they're having, one, but also our nutritionist, Dave Tobin, was at the pool with us nearly every day. And he was looking around at the stadium and saying, this is what I used to dream of as a little boy. And although I'm not in the water competing, I'm still part of this. And I was like, wow, like, that's so amazing. And maybe I'll be able to feel the same feeling I have when I race if I find a different area in sport. But I don't know, we'll see.
Is there a bucket list of non-sport related things that you're going to get cracking into over the next little while?
Yeah, I have to work on it now. I need to, if anyone has any ideas of what I should be doing, I'll put it up on Instagram. You know, the first thing I'm going to do is have a long nap. And then I'm going to Bali in November to do a yoga teacher training course. And then I'm going to do a little bit of travel. But other than that, yeah, I don't know. And I like not knowing. I've known what's been going on nearly every day of my life for the past 20 years. So I think not knowing is probably the biggest bucket list thing of all.
Yeah, I've seen you mention as well in interviews over the past few months that there's a big birthday coming up soon as well. And that idea of trying to achieve as much before that birthday with a zero comes up is a little bit of a timeline that you set yourself. It's almost like you're always operating against the clock in some capacity, Ellen.
Oh, I'm just so competitive. I'm always looking at the clock. Even sometimes in the day as well, like when I need to be doing stuff, I'll just like set a timer and I'll be like, I'll see how quickly I can get this done. But no, yeah, I'm not stressed about the time. I just want to be able to enjoy the 6 months of my 20s that I have left and to do whatever it is that, I don't know, people in their 20s do. But I think it's a bit of a cliche, to be honest, but sure, look.
I think competing at 5 Paralympics is more than 99.999% of 30-year-olds have done in their life. And that often comes with the pang of whatever that is of turning 30. Have I done enough in my life at this point? I can't expect you to have that same feeling somehow, or maybe not. Maybe you do look at it a different way. I think it's just been an unbelievably successful life and it's onto the next thing as opposed to regretting things that you haven't done.
Yeah, definitely. I honestly don't have any regrets, but I don't know if you have any idea what your favorite thing to do in your 20s was, let me know.
Yeah, it's we may have to compile a list there. And as you say, I'm sure your Instagram followers will be able to help you out on that for sure. But it is like this fascinating stage in your life right now. And I did want to ask you about one of the other things that you mentioned there about the way in which you psychologically approached this year's games. And it kind of comes back to the long goodbye setting. I think you're overlooking the fact that maybe like coming fourth in a Paralympic Games is an unbelievable result for most people out there. The bottom line here is that you still performed really well at this year's Paralympics, regardless of not getting onto the podium. And the motivation for it was very different. It was a much more wholesome motivation, almost. And that's a very interesting thing, isn't it? That you can actually be motivated by that as much as you can be motivated by the hunger of winning your first gold medal, for example, 3 years ago. Or not, yeah. 7 years ago.
It's almost like a full circle moment because like I said in my interview, when I finished after my backstroke, I did that for little Ellen because I just wanted to enjoy every moment. And I guess that's my first games experience was like, I was just like a kid at Disneyland. And that's basically how I felt in Paris. I was just taking everything in and appreciating every moment and really loving just being there. And that's what Paris was for me, was just about loving just being there. So to be able to kind of start at the bottom, make my way up, peak, and then be able to come back down to where I was when I was a kid is such a lovely feeling. And if there's any athletes out there who are kind of on the fence about whether they will or won't retire, I would encourage them to pick a competition and work towards that as your retirement so that you know and you have that experience of knowing when it's the last time, because it's such a privilege to be able to know when your last time is and to be able to just enjoy the moment and be a bit silly and just have a smile on your face while you're doing it, because sport is so hard. Like, there's so much pressure put behind athletes and put on ourselves, and I think had I walked away being disappointed, I think my family and my friends would have been a bit deflated, and they weren't deflated because I was just having the time of my life no matter what happened.
Yeah, like I presume when you look back on it all now that this conclusion is as much of a happy moment as winning a gold medal is. I know that there were other factors at play, but I think, can we come to a conclusion about the connection between happiness and actually coming first?
Yeah, I know. Like I said after I came fourth that I probably was happier coming fourth than I was happier with a gold medal. Happier coming fourth in Paris. Or I felt more love with coming fourth in Paris than I did with a first place in Tokyo. And that's because I just feel like I've become more of a whole person, and I've been able to figure out how to have better relationships with people and let people in a bit more when it comes to my sport. And I've just felt so much more love this games round. Whereas when you're working towards a gold medal, it can be extremely lonely. And I guess that's kind of what I found difficult between Tokyo and Paris, because like I've had so many teammates retire over the years that there's a 7 year age gap between me and Nicole and Barry, who are about 22, and they're the next oldest. So there's such a big age gap. I don't really have the same peers I had when I was younger. So when I was working towards winning a gold medal, it is quite lonely and you're quite isolated, and it's a goal that you've set for yourself. And when you achieve it, it's pure bliss, but it's also such a lonely experience. Whereas coming fourth, everyone knows what it feels like to win. Everyone knows what it feels like to lose. And everyone could empathize with that. And everyone felt the need to reach out and make sure I was okay. And it was nearly, I felt like a virtual hug was happening because of all the love I was receiving. And it really made all the difference in the world. So like, how can I have any regrets when I've received that much love?
Yeah, wow, it's a very good way to put it. Just one last question, just out of curiosity, is it, when you refer to like the age gap between yourself and some of the other swimmers, but at the Olympics and the Paralympics, it does seem like a young person's game. Does it necessarily need to be that way, Ellen?
I don't think it necessarily has to be that way, but there's a reason why older athletes leave Ireland to train for the games. And it's purely because, like, Ireland is a small country. The pool of talent is quite small. And the older people get, the more they're drawn to other things, and the less people stay in competitive sports, the older they get, and they might want a family, they might want to move on in their life. So the reason people leave is just to be surrounded by similar age people with the same goal and to be able to make it a professional environment. And as much as we want to be able to keep everyone in Ireland and to keep the high performance in Ireland, I don't know if that's a realistic goal, because it also takes people, it takes away the opportunity to make friends and to keep friends and to feel like you're amongst peers. So I don't know, like I don't know if we can solve that. I think we just have to accept that people are going to have to venture out to find the motivation.
For sure. You have been listening to five-time Paralympian and Alliance Ambassador Ellen Keane upon her return from Paris. The last few weeks marked Ellen's final Paralympics, as she now looks forward to retirement. And Alliance, of course, have been proud to support Ellen on her Paralympic journey since 2017, and are the only brand to support the Olympics and Paralympics at both a global and local level. It has truly been one of the great Irish sporting careers. Ellen, thanks a million for taking the call, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.